thanks to the Powell family who did that wonderful recording, to Christopher, our music lead, who did most of the lyrics with a little bit of help from Gretchen and Kristen. I hope you enjoyed that that song that I hope we won't have to sing for too long, but we have it when we need it. So when I was a kid, my favorite joke went something like this. Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Each time I would just repeat that same line. Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? You could feel the tension rising in the experience, right? Each time we repeated that knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana whom? There was a tension that filled the space in between me and the person or victim, I should say, of this joke. Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana whom? I felt a lot of power telling this joke because I got to decide when it came to an end. Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana whom? It would just keep on going. Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana who? The listener, of course, is probably wondering, when is this joke going to be over? And then I would get to the punchline. Knock, knock, who's there? A punny, complex punchline fit enough for a fifth grader. Knock, knock, who's there? Orange. Orange who? Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? And then I, as the joke teller, would burst out laughing, right? Because I thought this was the funniest joke in the world. I feel like I can't remember an adult actually laughing at the joke, but I do remember that I thought it was hilarious. And when I think about that joke, it actually contains all of the elements that really get to the underlying reality of what makes something funny. Because when we stop to think about it, I mean, what does make something funny? I mean, I'm pretty good at understanding if something is funny. I don't always admit that I think things are funny, because sometimes I'm self-conscious about if I should think things are funny. But have you ever stopped to wonder why? Why is something funny? Well, there's a lot of different theories about humor, but that knock-knock joke, I think, contains all three. It contains tension. Right? I mean, each repetition of the joke creates this tension in between that suddenly gets released. Tension and release. It also has a little bit of superiority, right? I mean, as the joke teller, I get to control the journey that we're going on. And it has that other element of humor, which is this incongruity, a sort of complexity, right? I mean, it's not the most complex joke in the world, but orange and aren't ya kind of sound a little bit similar. So there's a punny complexity that kind of, you think you're going one way and you actually go the other. It's what makes jokes like a man walked into a bar, ouch, sort of funny, right? You think you're going one way and then you go the other. There's a complexity even in the simplicity. Tension, incongruity, superiority leads to this experience of humor, of release, of relaxation, and also of connection. Humor isn't just about making light. It is about bringing to light. Bringing to light the underlying tensions that we live with. The tensions that all of us are living with right now. Humor is also a collective enterprise. It reminds us of the us. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you're watching a funny TV show by yourself, you're less likely to laugh than if you're watching it with someone else. It's why for a long time in television, they added the laugh track, right? Either a fake or a studio audience that's trained to laugh at certain moments to simulate this collective experience. We actually laugh way more with other people. It's a collective and connecting experience. It reminds us of a greater us, of a connection to one another. In fact, scientists think that rats actually laugh. We can't really hear it with the human ear, but when they attach special scientific things to their cages and they see rats playing, they hear these very high-pitched noises. And when you actually tickle rats, they make the same noise. And they think that the reason why they make that noise is to communicate to other rats that I'm okay. That you might think that we're fighting, but actually we're okay. Which is actually another function of laughter in our society as this kind of signal and lubricant that what's going on is playful, or at least we're trying to ease the tension. Humor isn't about making light, but about bringing to light, which is why in the last few, maybe decades, we've seen the rise yet again of political satire. For as one writer wrote, as the news gets bad, comedy has to get better. Because comedy has a way of bringing to light the underlying realities, the truths that are hard to see, getting at them sideways, like those stories of Nasreddin that Gretchen shared with us earlier. It's why stand-up comedians often can tell deep truths, upending power dynamics in a way that is palatable. Now, some of you, maybe those of you who are new this Sunday, may be wondering, what did I step into this morning? I mean, is this a worship service? Is this a parody of a worship service? I'm not exactly sure what this is. And let me tell you that this is exactly what happens every Sunday. No, that's not true. Although, maybe a little bit. The root of the word worship is to ascribe worth. Worship in our tradition as Unitarian Universalists is not something that is done to honor a specific God or to recreate a specific ritual. It is a collective practice, a collective practice in which we, the people, get to decide what is worthy. Now, especially in times like these, when our lives are filled with understandable and real grief, when the weight of anxiety, I know I've been feeling this anxiety recently in my body, is mounting. It may feel odd or it may feel beautiful to spend this time focusing on humor and laughter. We often in our society tell ourselves that we need to justify pleasure, that we need to justify these feelings, that with all that's going on, we shouldn't allow ourselves to feel this good. And in our Unitarian Universalist tradition, we tell ourselves and remind ourselves, we shape what is worthy by saying to each other that our laughter, our connection, our release is worthy of a space in our collective place. Especially in this time in which we're experiencing this collective trauma of this coronavirus. In a reflection near the beginning of this, when I was talking to the congregation about our enoughness, I said, we are going through a collective trauma. Our lives are being upended. And one of the realities of trauma is that it interrupts our stress response cycle. And actually, I have a little drawing. I don't know if you can see it here. But when our body experiences stress, our heart rate increases, our blood pressure increases, our brain sends a bunch of chemicals or hormones all throughout our body, preparing ourselves to fight, to freeze, getting ready. Now, in a normal stress response, those come up. And then once we've released that stress, they come back down. But in a state of chronic stress, which is what we're in right now in experiences of trauma, our bodies get interrupted. So instead of coming back down like they should, resetting our bodies, our muscles, our hearts, our brains, we stay elevated. We stay up in this place of tension, of engagement, of hypervigilance, of fear. And it's very difficult to live a meaningful life in that space. Now, scientists have been studying humor for a while, and what they've learned is that the release of laughter actually forces us to take more oxygen into our bodies, and the release of a good laugh actually sends the hormonal responses throughout our bodies for, I think it was 6 hours after our laughter, that communicates to our body, you're okay. It helps relax our system to be less alert, hypervigilant, and to come back down, which is even more needed now when our bodies are so filled with this tension. This doesn't mean that laughter is the cure for it all. It doesn't mean that we can laugh our way out of collective trauma. But humor and laughter are a medicine that can help us as we wait for vaccines, as we wait for our politicians and our communities to reorganize ourselves. In fact, humor and laughter can help us put spotlights on the ridiculousness, the absurdity of this moment that we're in, to see the truths that might be hidden, to accept them, to shine light on them, and help find what is worthy within them. Amen, and blessed be.